Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and this January I am launching my new show, The Laura Ingraham Show Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So if you like my radio show, you're going to love joining me during the week as I cover politics, pop culture, and media bias. And don't worry, as always, I'm going to bring you hard-hitting guests and take your calls. Subscribe today and download new episodes starting January exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Hey, Buzzaboo! Thanks for tuning in and thanks for telling a friend. This doctor is over there. He's a board-certified physician. He's a medicine physician.
Buzzaboo.
Buzzaboo. Hey, Drew.
Hey, buddy. Buzzaboo.
I don't know why. I just looked down at my note. I saw Glenn Close, and I was laughing about her tearful.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
We're talking about that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But I started to look into her life. Like, mom was like a socialite, and her dad was rich, and everyone was rich, and everyone lived a life of white privilege, and.
Yeah, well, the mom, though, had to subjugate herself to the dad. She wasn't the one making the money. So.
Okay. People have different desires in life, different goals.
How dare you?
It's a weird,
it's all socially constructed.
It is a weird thing that we've decided that everybody wants to be a captain of industry or run a Fortune 500 company or have a chain of pizzerias or something. Like, I would – Lynette much prefers being a mom to – coming over here and cleaning out the fridge, much prefers. So that's, she tends to do more of that and less of the cleaning out of the fridge because she much prefers being a mom to doing that. Why should we begrudge her that or try to talk her out of that or take it away from her?
Take it away because it's all socially constructed. It's the only reason she can't see anything else. She's been reared by society, Adam.
Mm.
And then – under your white privileged thumb the whole way.
Mm.
See?
Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how that works. But we cannot let people just do what they'd like to do or what they tend to do.
Because they're boxed in then.
Boxed into their own life?
Yeah, because that's the only thing they can imagine doing. But they're not living the life they're supposed to live.
Interesting discussions about my white privilege online with people, which is always, there is no winning that argument. I'll tell you about, I want to thank our sponsor, LifeLock, promo code Adam, and TrueCar.com as well, which is, if you tell somebody, I've never really been the recipient of that, they basically treat it like gamma radiation that, no, they're like radon gas that comes from the floor. They just go, oh, you don't know it. You've been in houses. You've been exposed. I go, I don't know. And it's funny because the example I always use is they go, I go, look, I tried to be a fireman and I couldn't be a fireman because I was a white guy and they didn't want any white people. So I was discriminated against. And they go, oh, you bring up this one instance, but what about all the other instances? Oh, you mean the next day when I got a cruise ship and they made me captain and they sent over all the dancing girls, or the next day when I picked up garbage on a construction site? Like, what do you mean after that? Nothing happened after that. I went from sort of being judged by my skin color by the LA Fire Department in a negative way to back up to zero on a construction site picking up garbage. What? And then there's the, well, what about all the stuff you don't know about? And it's like, well, it's really hard to argue away invisible things. To say, you're in good health because you're blessed. And I go, oh, okay, but I don't feel like I'm blessed. Well, you don't know it. Think about people die of cancer in their 20s. Like, okay. Think about people live to 150, like chain smoke. Like, I don't know how, I can't explain invisibleness. I can say that I was never let off from a ticket because the guy walked around the window and discovered I was white. I can say that I've had multiple motorcycles towed out from under me as well and arrested and things of that nature. Now, I've never been shot by a cop, but I've never threatened a cop either. I've had multiple jobs that were horrible and didn't seem to advance me much, and I've had crappy apartments that people didn't want to rent me the apartments because my credit wasn't good enough, and multiple roommates, and most of the stuff I did was kind of like three guys rent a house and lock and it was a La Crescenta. Yeah, three guys like rent a house in La Crescenta. One roommate moves out, you move in, we don't tell the landlord, kind of thing. When I wanted to be a boxing coach, I told the guy I wanted to be a boxing coach, and he said no. So I said, let me fix stuff. And he let me fix stuff. And he let me be a boxing coach. I don't know. I don't know where the invisible hand of the... Now, if you ask me, and I really just try to distill it down to where were those moments, I can't really find any. I find quite the opposite. I found a lot of non-help from people. But maybe I got laid because I'm white. I don't know. Maybe I nailed some blonde chick who wouldn't be with a black fella, but she would be with me. That could be possible.
That's white privilege.
That's white cock privilege right there. The best of all the privileges.
And
the WCP, baby.
I just have to ask yourself, you know, when you hung out at K-Rock that day, if you'd been an African-American guy sitting there all day waiting for Jimmy, would they have treated you differently?
Well, considering I was trying to get a job as a boxing coach, and since many of the guys I work with as boxing coaches were African-American or Latino or whatever, the guy I had cover my class that day was black, I don't think that part would have slowed me down since, again, there were more people. As a matter of fact, the African-American part of the boxing coach would probably lead you to a little more credibility in the boxing department than the guy who looked like he had a Jufro. Now, after that, I don't know, could I have made friends with Jimmy? Would Jimmy have gone?
Jimmy has no black friends.
To
so,
bat for so me.
There you go.
But he loves black people. Well, Jimmy's best friend growing up was Clito Escobedo, the Mexican guy who lived across the street. So I feel like he... pretty multicultural and his and he's always helped. He helped, you know, Clito's his band leader now, so I feel like he's open to people from different parts of the world and helping them. I feel
he's
like
afraid of people that are different than him.
He's afraid of people that are different, as all white people are. Scared of people that are different than
scared.
Him.
Yeah, scared.
The single-handedly the most condescending comment any politician.
It wasn't a politician. That was from the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah. But it's echoed from the Golden Globes, from politicians and back. And it's like a venereal disease. It's like crabs. Like fucking junkie roommates trading crabs. It's like, I don't know what that means. It's wildly insulting to everybody at all times. But yeah, K-Rock now, I don't know. I don't know what K-Rock would have thought of a black...
I suspect they may have been looking for black hair staff.
It always helps when you're a big publicly traded company and you're looking to round things out to have some diversity over there. When I left Loveline, they said, we want young and we want Hispanic. Like, that's who's going to replace you. Mm-hmm. They didn't say blonde and old. They said young and Hispanic. Not African-American, but not white. So... once again, it's invisible, so no one ever knows. But I think if you comb through the wreckage of my life and you just kind of go year by year, I don't think you're going to find it was a strong force. The force, the white privilege force, not strong with this one. So I was also never in – I wasn't really in an environment – where it was neither here nor there. My best paying construction job by far all time was I was just making $11 an hour, maybe $12 an hour, and this earthquake rehab for the city job came around. And because it was a EEOC city, whatever it was all of a sudden it was $18.50 an hour, which was a massive bump. Like for me, that was a huge deal. And that job, because it was a city job, had to have, you know, X amount of women, X amount of blacks, X amount of Hispanics. Like every job site needed one of everybody. So I made it onto the crew, but it wasn't nothing to do with my white skin. They were actively looking for people of color, different origin, or even gender to be a part of it, because it was city prevailing wage city thing, and they had to round out the roster. That was my best job thus far, but that, again, colored skin didn't factor in, sadly.
So
now my dad has been riding a crest of white success and privilege since he was born in South Philly. Now, for him,
he slid by because of white privilege.
And my mom has she never had a bad day
because of her white privilege.
That is absolutely correct. But it did not trickle over to me.
No, doesn't seem to.
My last conversation with my dad, he said, "You think you could buy me a trumpet?"
Is that a recent conversation?
Semi-recent. Yeah, a few weeks.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
What'd you say?
Use your white privilege. What am I going to buy you a flugelhorn for? You're white.
Use your white privilege card.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So what were you going to say?
So I interviewed a lady on the radio who's part of a group. She's an attorney. She's an African-American woman. And an economist from Cornell. And this is a bunch of really high-powered thinkers. And they put together a book called Citizen Capitalism. Citcap.org is their website. If you want to check it out. And their idea was something akin to what was going on in the Renaissance era, which was I believe that the reason the Renaissance in Florence happened is because they came up with this thing called the La Montagna, where everybody put in a little bit to this one pool of money. It was, and it grew, and the Medici sort of managed it, and it was this sort of social welfare pool, and these women that set this book together were saying that this is back to the sort of billionaire contribution idea that I was advocating earlier in the week, that if the companies that say lived in California, these multi-billion dollar multi-international companies, put in a small sum of money into these funds, they could really have something that we could all apply to other than transferring income. So it's a way of – it's sort of all benefiting, all having skin in the game, all having access to essentially universal income without money being taken from one person and given to another. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm still not down with it. I would definitely – here's what I would do. I would go – here's what we took our money and what we did.
These organizations.
Yeah. Yes. We went and found the guy who's second in command at Southwest Airlines. And we said to that guy, what do you make a year? And he said, I make $7 million a year. Good. We'll give you $10 million a year. Go fix the LA school system. Mm. Go take whatever you know about how to run a business and how to get things done. And it's not all just make money, obviously. It's people have to come back. People have to be satisfied. Things got to run on time. If something goes wrong with your maintenance schedule, people are going to die. You, my friend, second in command of Southwest Airlines, you've been there 19 years. How many planes did you have when you started? 140. How many do you have now? Over 3,000 or whatever it is. You.
Mm-hmm.
Stop what you're doing.
Go fix it.
Here's the amount of money. We've all just anteed up. We're going to match your Southwest airline thing plus 10%. Go fix this. Now, Gavin Newsom would never let him fix it because he would then suggest vouchers or school choice. And then Gavin Newsom, because he's corrupt and bought and paid for by the unions, would explain that that hurts kids. And then go back to hurting kids. So you'd have to deal with that aspect of it. And as long as we're doing the fantasy side of it, we'd have to figure out the sort of governmental side. But I would love to take that guy and put him in charge of that.
Yep.
And go, all right, pretend this is just a big – pretend LA Unified School District is just a big fucking airline you guys just bought. And it's fucking hemorrhaging money and you're losing pilots and you're low rated in terms of customer service and everything. You're fucking at the bottom of the barrel. Now go at it. Treat it like a giant airline. Go fix it. And for all of you who go, hey, man, the one's an airline and the other, fuck you. This guy do a thousand times better job. You get somebody like that, tell him that's it. Tell him it's an asset. Tell him it's an airline. You got to fucking fix it. I'll give you 3 years to turn it around. They'd fucking fix it. They'd fix it a fuck of a lot better than what it is now. 1,000%. There's no doubt in my mind. How could it go any other way? I would gladly be down with the notion of these guys getting fucking headhunters, being headhunters, professional. They would stake these guys and just go, for us, it's dropping the bucket, pay this guy's salary for 3 years, stop what you're doing at Southwest, do it here. By the way, I don't care what your political affiliation is. All we want is results. You don't ask what the political affiliation is of passengers on your airplane or upper management or anything because you shouldn't give a shit. Shouldn't give a shit about this. Don't worry about anything.
I think generally,
put your team together and go fix it.
State government ought to be like that.
Yes.
Should be pragmatic.
It'd be nice. Gavin Newsom is snapped into action. He's turned the first lady into the first partner.
Person.
First partner. First person. She is the first person?
I think it's the first person. I think so.
Yeah. All right. He couldn't be prouder. Mm. Really? Okay. A little bit of traffic talk on the side, or just mostly talk about his second wife and what we're going to
traffic?
First partner.
First partner, you were right. Traffic.
Would you stop interrupting me with your wronglyhoods?
Traffic, wronglyhoods. I like that.
Well, Drew, why do you think it's something different than what I said?
Because I literally thought it was a heard person.
But you never heard person.
I got it wrong.
Why so quickly?
Because I'm wrong. It's possible to be wrong and to think you heard something I didn't hear.
I really want you to drill down on that, though.
Partner sounded kind of weird to me, and I thought to myself, if I'd heard partner, I would have thought that. But I heard person, so I just said person. That's all.
But the word partner was said.
And it was correct. Is there a mystery here?
The mystery is your wiring. You have to think about that.
The wiring that... Again, the word – the thinking that I would have heard because first partner is so peculiar that I would have made note of that. And what I thought I heard was first person because that made more sense to me and I thought I'd heard that.
Calling your partner makes more sense in the context we're talking about.
It would have struck my ear, I would have thought, and it didn't. And, didn't. So I got it wrong. It's possible to be wrong.
With zeal.
Because I thought for sure the partner thing would have struck me. It's such a weird construct.
Look, I'm here to shit on your points.
Yes.
First person sounds much weirder than first partner.
First partner doesn't make it doesn't make sense to me.
Let's ask the Cashew Gallery. I've upgraded them.
Because I still don't really quite – when I'm thinking about
– If you say
– here's the deal. First lady does not necessarily imply first wife. First partner to me implies first wife. First lady, if you're going to make that gender neutral, to me goes first person. That's all.
But think about if you were in San Francisco. Mm. A gay man would not refer to his partner as his person. It would be his partner. So he's trying to be inclusive of all sexualities, I think, how I read it.
But see, I thought it differently. I saw it as trying to go gender neutral.
But no one has ever called their significant other a person. They call him a partner. All right. Everyone knows I'm right.
I agree with Adam. I'm having trouble saying what you're saying because
nobody knows what he's saying.
In a relationship.
What would if I were to say my wife, and we're to try to make that completely neutral, not talk about gender nor a both gender and role.
But you are trying to convey relationship status with this.
I didn't get that. Because well, first lady
it is his wife. So
can we agree on this?
Establish that they're in a relationship.
Gary, yeah. Let's just agree on this.
Yeah.
Drew, dumbest smart guy around. Me, smartest dumb guy around.
That's why we work so well together.
Okay.
Yeah. Done.
You do understand that is our. I am the smartest dumb guy, and Drew is the dumbest smart guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take care of business.
Fair enough. No, you've got it.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me tell you about LifeLock. Stolen identity. Drew, if they stole your identity, then you might just be the dumbest dumb guy around.
If they had no identity, I'd be the non-smart.
Protect yourself. Always shred bank statements, bills, and documents that contain personal information. Keep important documents like birth certificates, Social Security. Put in a safe. Get a safe, man. I got a safe. Bolt it to the floor. You can do it.
Safe.
It's got the word safe in it. And use different strong passwords for your online accounts and smartphone. Many ways cyber criminals can take what is yours. I'm telling you, criminals are lazy. People think of them as bad. They are bad, but they don't want to take full-time jobs. They'd rather rip off your identity and put some money into their account. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there is a problem, they have an agent who will work to fix it. Right, Drew?
Right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
All right. So who, Drew?
Yes.
As I say, my new muse in life is thinking about, again, not the husband that leaves the house in the ostrich purple cowboy boots, but the wife who walks and strides in unison with him out to the SUV and they go to the restaurant.
So the people that don't speak up, people that don't speak up.
Why is she not saying anything about this guy's boots?
Well,
and I get the point where Gavin Newsom is a sociopath and gets to just say whatever he wants to say. Why are people, whatever side of the aisle you're on,
okay, so
why
listen,
are people big fans?
So I would say that, hold on, that you're beginning to formulate a something about something that is similar to your observations about 50 years will all be chicks. So I'm suggesting whatever this is that's coming to your consciousness, we should listen to very carefully.
So, I like listening to me.
Right. I know that. And so there's something about us that has us not being objective about other people, but more importantly, not being willing to speak up. And it has some drawback to, hey, man, you're not the boss of me. You cannot judge whatever you're into. The cannot judge piece has now become the endemic problem, right? Cannot judge, so how can we say anything? Because we cannot judge. How can we say anything?
Well, we for folks who've sworn off judging, we sure call a lot of people Nazis and racist and homophobic.
Right, so what is this?
And scared of people that look different than them.
Yeah, so what is this? It's a fear-based.
I believe that you can sell 100 units of laundry detergent a week based on an advertisement that says it smells good and it'll get those grass stains out. But you could sell 1 million units a week if you did an advertising campaign that talked about germs and about how your child is exposed to the germs and about how other leading detergents don't kill those germs that cause hepatitis and gingivitis.
Right. So you're going at the emotion of disgust because that's what that plays upon, the primitive emotion of disgust.
Is it?
Yeah.
The fear is disgust?
It's ultimately that's disgust. Anything about germs and stuff, it's really how we react emotionally is initially disgust.
Well, I'm going at fear.
And then fear. Fear and disgust kind of go right hand in hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and so you keep going.
So you could talk about nice smelling detergent, but if you want to talk about putting people in danger,
yeah,
or germs or cleaning, we're going to sell more units. So the notion of I could get X amount of people to vote for me based on policies that I put in place that might be attractive to them, but that's tough because A, how many people are in this bracket or how many people commute, mm-hmm, or how many people need public transportation or how many people need public housing or how many people – now you're scattered to the wind, mm-hmm, because you go, hey, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build more public transportation. And the one guy goes, oh, you got my vote. And then Mark Garagos goes, fuck that. I got a Range Rover. I don't want to pay for that guy's bus.
Right.
Now you split your vote.
Right.
You're scattering it to the wind. But if you go, hey, the guy's running against me, he's Hitlerian.
Yeah.
He's a Nazi. He hates everyone. And
he's
homophobic.
And you're not living the life you meant to lead.
And you guys should be living the life you're meant to lead. Then you go, oh, well, that's easy now. I'm going to vote for the guy who's not Hitler-esque.
Right.
Or he's not scared of things. Of people look different than him. It's a shorter, easier way to get to, look, the finish line is I need a vote. So how do we get to that finish line? One involves numbers and decisions and saying things like, hey, taxpayers, we're going to take those unfunded pensions and we're going to get rid of them, you know, and then the fucking school teachers union and the cops and the firemen go, what the fuck? You said I could retire at 53 with full benefits and full pay for the rest of my life. Well, we got to pull some of that off the table. Well, no, now we're not voting. Okay, that now we're getting messy. Becomes this sort of Rubik's Cube that never really fully ever can line up, because there is no such thing as don't worry deficit and budget that's going bankrupt. We're gonna take these firemen and when they retired 52, instead of as promised, we're just gonna pay them full freight for the rest of their life. By the way, it's insane. This notion, like I sit around sometimes, and I'm sure you do, and you go like, oh, yeah, what about the pension? Yeah, how about that guy's pension? And then you go, wait a minute, retired 52 and you get paid a full salary for the rest of your life?
It's incredible.
Like, what does that mean? And then I always look around and I go, wait a minute, where's my pension?
Yeah.
How's that work? So there's a part of me that goes like, oh, yeah, he deserves pension. And I go, well, wait a minute, how does it work for everyone else, mm-hmm, or the people that run their own businesses or whatever it is? So it's a kind of a fool's errand to go, hey, don't worry, taxpayers. I'm going to take that money away from those firemen. And then you go to the firemen, hey, bad news. And I go, whoa, okay, you're not going to vote for me. Okay, you keep all the money. And then, hey, taxpayers, it's not going to work out.
Right.
But
so you just go for foolish rhetoric.
Instead of getting mired in that, you just go, whoever's running against me, hey, that guy made a move on one of his, he patted some girl in the behind when he was out stumping. So go at it, me too. Or he said something that's racially divisive. It's just an easier, lower calorie burnt kind of way of winning things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would everyone do it?
Right. It works.
It works until it stops working. It works until it stops working.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically what it is you have a gun. The gun has blanks in it, and every time the grizzly over there starts moving toward your campfire, you just pop one in the air, noise goes off, grizzly goes away. And eventually, after enough fucking caps go off in the air, the grizzly's like, you know what?
I'm hungry.
Not really going for the fucking... Last 15 times I walked that guy's campfire, I heard a backfire sound, I ran back to my cave, but you know what? I don't think there's anything in that gun. I think they're all fucking blanks. And then you get eaten.
Mm. So how does that metaphor figure into what's going to happen?
That wasn't a metaphor. I'm talking about bears.
I knew you were talking about bears. I was hoping there'd be something about human existence.
People wise up to whatever fucking, you know, when Gavin Newsom says, God, it's Gary's favorite line. I never can remember the traffic line.
You want it?
You're not in traffic. You are traffic.
Right, there you
when
go.
People realize that that's a fucking cap gun in the air, that I don't even know. First off, retarded person who runs California, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You are traffic?
Yeah.
Okay. When people eventually hear enough of that shit while they're stopped on the 405, they'll eventually go, fuck this.
I hope so.
Very nice.
Hey, but speaking of cars, True Car.
Oh,
that's
cars.
Right. Find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade in. You just go to True Car, enter the car's license plate number, and your car details pop up, and they answer a few questions. Once you finish, you'll get a true cash offer. True cash from True Car. Set in minutes, which you can take to any local True Car certified dealer to cash out or trade in. And if you're going to trade in, you can explore the scattergram for the car you want. Get educated about pricing, lock in a price, a true price, including fees and accessories. Of course, the True Car certified dealers are setting their prices competitively because they know you're out there shopping. And when you lock in that price, that true price, you lock in a car on a True Car certified dealer's lot, whether it is new or used, you get that true price. And when you are ready to buy or a new or used vehicle, think of True Car. And when you're ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car for that true cash offer. True cash not available in all areas.
All right, let's talk to James. James, Williamsburg, Virginia. You've been taking Zoloft?
Yeah, I'm taking Zoloft. And what's happening is it's creating a false positive for benzos. And they're talking about removing the Zoloft from my medication in order to fix the false positive.
How long have you been off benzodiazepines?
Well, I haven't taken them. That's the problem.
In your life, you've never taken them?
No.
Hmm. That's weird. I've never seen Zoloft do that.
I've been taking Zoloft for about a year now.
Huh.
What's going on with the Zoloft?
Very unusual.
Why are you taking that?
For depression.
Right, but why?
Well, I'm in a mental hospital, so that's why.
You're in a hospital presently?
Yes.
Are you chronically hospitalized?
Yes.
Huh. And
but I have to take – I'm in a gradual release program, so I have to urinalysis every day. And it came up that I had benzos in my system, and then now this is like the third time where it's been a false positive, and now they're talking about removing the Zoloft, and I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Well, you know, it's pretty – I mean, many SSRIs function similarly, so you can always just switch over to something else. It's not that
okay.
big a deal. But what was your drug of choice?
Well, I didn't do drugs.
Why are they testing you every day?
Well, in case I am on drugs.
Hmm.
Seems
maybe it's part of a new protocol. Huh. Are you able to work, James?
Yes, I work in the kitchen.
Huh. Good.
Are you doing what I always say, like lots of classical music and long walks and all the stuff that is good for you that couldn't hurt?
Yeah, well, actually today I went to an AA meeting and I listened to jazz music the whole way there, which was nice.
Why do you go to an AA meeting if you don't use drugs or alcohol?
Well, I did use alcohol.
Oh, boy.
So, hey, James.
Yes.
How's your diet?
It's pretty terrible right now. It's mainly candy and just anything I can get my hands on, and then the hospital food.
Can we do, look, just for my sake, can we do like the more protein and the less candy and the less grain and the walks and the classical music and that just to just
build yourself up?
Build yourself up?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, excellent. Well, do that for us and then inquire about switching SSRIs.
One last thing. No injectable medication. You haven't been injected every 2 weeks or something with something?
Yeah, I get injected with Abilify.
Okay, well, that may be showing up on your benzo screen, okay?
Really?
So make sure you tell your doctors that.
Thanks, James. Do all those things. Call us back. I want to know if they make a dent. All right. Monday is going to be our 1,000th episode, so we have special clips coming up from Geo. So we have a special show coming up for you on Monday. Live shows coming up. Go to amcarolla.com. Going to be out in Connecticut and Wilbur Theater in Boston. Chassy, check that out. Drew, what do you got?
Doctor.com. It's all there.
So until next time, Adam Carolla, Dr. Hussein. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.